while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Yeah, I want to use this time to share some thoughts on the idea of being cut off or cut back, or cut back or cut off, depending on how you want to look at it. The metaphor that Jesus uses in this Bible text, John chapter 15, talks about the vine and grapes, talks about fruit and trees. But as I said, it is really, really critical. It's really, really important. Let's not, and sometimes, you know, we read things in scripture and we look at it through this sort of, oh, that's a nice story. But there is a deeper, more significant meaning for us as Christians and as disciples of Christ. And as I said, I absolutely think this is relevant for some of us here today, maybe somebody even hearing this on playback. And I pray that as I continue in what I'm sharing today, you're going to see yourself in what I'm saying, so that you can bear fruit for the Lord. Amen? Amen. We live in a world where sometimes it feels like chaos. Chaos is reigning. Pressure here, pressure there, pressure all over the place. All sorts of philosophies, all sorts of ideologies, all sorts of thoughts are presented to us, particularly about how we should live, what we should do, even what we should believe sometimes. You know, one of the most difficult things or challenging things can be trying to prioritize and put in the right order, to make sense of the chaos that is around us. You know, what do I choose? Which one is right? Which one is partially right? Which one is totally right? What is true? What is truth? Distinguishing the difference between what is important, what is not important. And sometimes we end up spending, you know, as somebody said, we major on the minors and we minor on the majors. Sometimes in the middle of all of this chaos, someone actually said once that people who suffer from stress spend 80% of their time worrying about something that's never going to happen. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, that's me actually. 80% worrying about something that never happens. You know, one of the things the Bible tells us about God is that He does everything with intention. He does everything with purpose. You know, I can't remember who it was. I heard it in a song that says, if you're going to pray, why worry? And if you're going to worry, why pray? You know, choose one, but choose it with intention. Choose it deliberately. I've said this a number of times. Don't be a passenger, an accidental passenger in the story of your own destiny. You know, be intentional. And God is a God of intention. Creation was not some cosmic, scientific, random accident. Genesis tells us that God saw all He had made and it was very good. God made everything with covenant, with intentionality. He sent His Son Jesus intentionally. Jesus wasn't just some random, how'd you feel? Do you want to go? I don't know. It was intentional. He chose His church, the church of, you know, worldwide, intentionally. He chose you intentionally. And you. And you. He chose you intentionally. Is that something I'm doing? Is everything else muted? It's just me? Oh, wow. My voice sounded very big suddenly. He chose you intentionally. Could you bring the volume down then? Perhaps that will make a difference. Thank you so much. The Bible that we have today is an intentional work. Yeah? And by the way, oh no, it's too far up a little, tiny bit. Yeah. Let me do this. Let me do this shameless plug. Guys, I mentioned it earlier on. Firm Foundations Bible class. Firm Foundations Bible class is this Friday. We say, oh yes, the 30th of January. No, it's this Friday. So if you're interested, you need to give me your name today so I can put you on the list. Because once we've reached capacity, we've reached capacity. And also, you're thinking, what's Firm Foundations Bible class? It's a number one, I think session one, we look at the Word. You know, it's about understanding why we believe what we believe. And ask a number of people, you know, who is God? What does the word God mean? Why do we have the Bible that we have? Many people can't answer those questions. Why do we pray? Why do we meet for fellowship? Why is discipleship important as a Christian? Many people can't answer those questions. And so these are the things that we address in Firm Foundation. So in Scripture, we have God. He speaks to us. And in some passages, he lays out his clear intentions for us, right? This portion of John's Gospel, the text that was read for us earlier on, is really important. As I said, it helps us understand God's intention. God's intention is for us to bear fruit. And we see it from the get-go. Verse 1 and 2 of John chapter 15 start talking about that. And Jesus gives clear instructions about how we are supposed to maintain fellowship, how we're supposed to maintain fruitfulness, particularly when stuff is tough, when challenges come. You know, Jesus' relationship with his followers was, at the time he was speaking, this was just before, this is when he was preparing. He knew his crucifixion was coming. He knew the relationship was going to change from a physical one into a spiritual one. And he felt, you know what, this is the right time for me to help them understand how to sustain that spiritual dimension of relationship. When Jesus spoke about the vine, it was intentional. It was a deliberate illustration because, well, particularly because where they lived, Palestine back then was surrounded by many vineyards. So Jesus was making the contrast between the children of Israel, the vine that God had planted, yeah, that didn't prove to be fruitful. If you know, those of you who know the story of the children of Israel right through the Old Testament was, yeah, you know, they're going about and everything's fine and they're living la vida loca. And then, you know, all of a sudden they forget that God's there and then they mess up and then they get carried into captivity and they're like, God, please save us. And God says, okay, you've repented. Okay, mercy. And then they're out. And what do they do next? They're living la vida loca. And off they go into, and it's like, come on, you guys just don't learn. And Jesus was making a contrast between that vine and himself as a vine, a fruitful vine. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says this: he dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. The vine that's being spoken here is Israel. Is a vine that the God set, you know, he planted it in a good place, you know, planted the choicest vine, put a watchtower, watched over it, but it yielded bad fruit. Jesus is saying, you know, the vine of Israel in the Old Testament is holding them in contrast to himself. He is the fullest realization of that vine, a fruitful vine. Yeah. So Israel was a vine that was unfruitful. It never achieved the goal, but Jesus Christ came as the true vine, yeah, that would help or restore what Israel failed to do. The interesting thing about Israel was that God was looking out for Israel all along. Israel was his chosen people. Israel was, well, you know, you're my children. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm there for you. He watched over the vineyard to see if it would prosper. But Israel was unfaithful, unfruitful on so many occasions, in so many ways, which is why God actually, why he allowed some of the things to happen. And I'll tell you now, it is actually possible for God to design something to be fruitful and for it and it to end up being unfruitful. Do you agree with that? It's possible for the intent, its purpose is to be one thing and it ends up a different way. Christ, as I said, is the main vine. He's the true source of life. God is the gardener and he's the one that cuts back or cuts off as appropriate. Yeah? He cuts back the branches that bear fruit. He will cut. The issue is he's going to cut. He's either going to cut back or he's going to cut off. Branches that bear fruit are cut back. We saw it in that video illustration. To make space for air, to make space for new fruits, to make space to get rid of pests, to get rid of the things that so easily beset. And the ones that are not bearing fruit, he cuts off. These are the ones that give the appearance of growth, but nothing is really happening inside the branch. You know, it reminded me of something that Jesus said. He was speaking to the Pharisees in the church in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you're like whitewashed temples, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. Yeah, in the same way on the outside, There it is. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Wow. This is a harsh statement to the leaders of the faith in those days. And he spoke to them. He called. Listen, he wasn't impressed with them. Their faith was about performance. It was about the show. And he wasn't. He was making it clear. Sorry, I didn't come here for a performance. I didn't come here for that. These guys were living by double standards, and Jesus wasn't having it. So he called out their standards. He called them out. He called out their bad behavior. And saints, we must be intentional to, you know, in our decision to live in Christ, live for Christ. Intentional. We choose Christ. Just like those who were baptized here last week. It's intentionality. We choose. We must be. Just like Clint and Amanda, who brought their daughter Aurelia just now to be dedicated. Yeah? It was their choosing. They are intentional about the life they want to see their child live. A life connected to Christ, a life rooted in Him, a life sustained in Him is a life we must choose. And we must be intentional. You know, when I married Sumi, Sumi and I got married, should I say? Or Sumi married me, really. I mean, yeah. It was a conscious decision. It was done intentionally. It was done deliberately. In fact, it wasn't just one point of intentionality. There were multiple points of deliberate intentionality throughout our whole story. You know, a few months after I met her, I think it was probably about 3 months after we first met. We're not going to talk about that because she has a different version of that story to me. You know, I discovered I was coaching a choir, and I rocked up at rehearsal only to see her up there singing. You know, she was one of the singers in the choir I was coaching. I intentionally, after the choir rehearsals one day, started a conversation. I intentionally stepped up to her to ask her what she does. I intentionally, after discovering, you know, she was studying counseling and psychotherapy at the University of East London, where I also studied, and the head of department was the same head of department, I intentionally spoke to her about counseling as often as possible. Maybe even after every rehearsal, I don't know. You know how these things, men, you know how these things go. Even ladies, you know how these things go. But it took intentionality for me to ask her for her number. It took intentionality to become her friend. It took intentionality for us to start a business together when we opened the counseling practice. It was intentional. Years after we were running the counseling practice, it took intentionality for me to tell her, let's go out for a meal in central London. It took intentionality for me to drop to one knee in the middle of that restaurant, holding a ring, shaking like a wet cat, saying to her, will you marry me? Intentionality upon intentionality, choice upon choice. I didn't just randomly, accidentally stumble upon the altar, you know, by coincidence or by accident on our wedding day. You guys were there. It was intentional. In the same way, we cannot live for Christ unless we take intentional steps to do so. The Christian walk is not by accident. It's not by coincidence. No. We don't stumble into heaven. We don't cruise into heaven on a soft life. Please, 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 please don't believe that lie. Please. I mean, social media has its place, but social media doesn't have the answers. We must live by the standards of God. We must choose to abide in Christ. For most of us, intentionality means we're probably going to have to arrange our life or rearrange our life. Rearrange prayer, arrange what we do, arrange what we, how we think, arrange the language we use, the phrases that we use, the figure of speech that we use, arrange our lives so that we come into regular, continuous contact with the person of Jesus Christ. That's the intentionality that many of us will have to do. You know one thing that amazes me? When we're physically hungry, we never forget to feed ourselves. Yet, when we're spiritually hungry, so easy to neglect that. Those of you who are doing the fasting and praying right now, you know, some days you can go till 2 o'clock before you remember to eat. Now, because you're fasting, 8:45 in the morning, you're like, oh, what time is it? Oh, isn't it time to break my fast? Verse 5 of our text from John 15 talks about what we get, the result of abiding in Christ. The result is that Christ lives in us, we live in Him, and we will be fruitful. It's a promise, it's a benefit, it's a promise to those who have permanent residence. When you live in Him, He lives in you. And His words have permanent residence in you. Eternal life, resurrection power. These things are available to the person that has faith in Jesus Christ. And saints, it's not our activity that glorifies God. No, it's having a Christ-like character that glorifies God. Whether you're sick or you're well, whether you're old or young, whether you're unemployed or you're bossing your career, whether you're bedridden or you're a bit of a gym head 7 times a week at the gym, whether you're broke or you're rich, you're suffering emotionally or you're living la vida loca, if you can demonstrate a Christ-like spirit, you are demonstrating what it is to be a disciple of Christ. You are demonstrating the proof that you are abiding in Christ. You are demonstrating all that He asks of you. Now, you abide in Him, He will produce the fruit. He produces the character in you. Now, He doesn't say you should abide, you know, if you're in a good mood. All of this thing where we're up in our feelings. The kind of people like, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, I was just feeling a bit down, so I didn't come to church. Okay, your bed has more answers than the, oh, well, you know, hey, I'm working at my own salvation. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just calling it out. He doesn't say, abide in me when you're in a good mood. Abide in me when your bills are paid. Abide in me when you're happy or your children are behaving well. Abide in me when you're not sick or when you have a job. Abide in me when you're not feeling down, when you're not feeling low. Abide in me when the future is clear. Abide in me when you're feeling confident. Abide in me when your marriage is great. He didn't say that. He said, abide in me. Just to abide. To abide means to abide. I don't know. To stay there. Just stay there. Just stay there. Remain in Him. Remain in His love and respond to His love. How do we respond? I want to ask, how do you respond to God's love? There must be a response to love for love to grow. When I saw this, you know, beautiful, beautiful lady up there on the stage. I mean, at the time, my eyes were cloudy. I couldn't see anything anyway. You guys know the story. You know, I didn't really care much. In fact, it was while we were running the counseling practice, one day I was just like, oh, hello. I just noticed her, and I was like, oh, okay, oh. And then when I made the move, what do you think she did? What do you want? Come on. I made the move. She's like, in her heart, she's probably thinking, oh, what does he want? But she, you know, I took one step. She took one step. I took the next step. She took the next step. We made ourselves accountable to people. I told people. I'm like, hey, in fact, I told people before I made the step. You know, there's a right way to do things, folks. But you see, when love is responded to, what happens to it? It grows. It develops. It goes deeper. It's richer. If you're not feeling the depths of God's love, you're like, Lord, I can't feel your love. Respond to it. If you want more of God's love, respond to what you feel. Respond to what you know. Respond to His word. You have to feed the relationship to make it grow, even your relationship with God. Relationships don't just grow. They don't just happen. Love doesn't just happen. It has to be responded to. In verses 9 and 10 of John 15, it says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. See, our love for Christ is the result of His love for us, His sacrificial love for us. And so the challenge question again, are you growing deeper and deeper in God's love? Are you abiding in Christ? Because abiding in Christ is an intimate walk with Christ. It's letting Him into your business, letting Him into your thoughts, those intrusive thoughts. That time you wanted to poke that guy in the eye, yeah? That those thoughts, when you're on the tube and you could see that person, you're like, oh, I don't want to get up, man. Do you know how long it took me to get this seat? those thoughts. Yield them, release them to Him. So where is God at work in your life? Are you in the middle of a pruning process? Is God cutting you right now? And you're trying to resist. Maybe He's trying to cut you back. And because He's trying to cut you back, you resist. You end up where He's trying to cut some stuff off. Where is He pruning? The pruning process is also a cleaning and a cleansing process. So where is He cleansing in your life? Is God using the sharp knife of circumstance? The sharp knife of a situation, a challenge that you're facing, is He using that to sanctify you with His word? Are you going through changes in your life where you're being forced to rely on Him? He says, "You shall have no other gods before me." His word tells us He's a jealous God. You put any other God, anything, anyone above God, that person becomes an enemy of God. Is He working on some of your old habits, your whole old behaviors, your old attitudes? That these things that have to go, that don't align with His word. I want to say this to you. Don't resist the gardener's knife or the gardener's secateurs, as they're called. Secateurs. It's a nice word, isn't it? Secateurs. Yeah, I can't spell it, but the guy said it in the video. It's what gardeners use for cutting plants back, for pruning. Allow Him to do His work in your life. And then let me ask you this. What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit are you producing? Oh, man. What kind of fruit are you producing? Yeah. You need to literally run. I just asked Him to get something for me. Just the one. So I'm going to speak really slowly until you get back. I asked, what kind of fruit? He can run, so I'm going to speak fast. When you produce, you know, you're producing the fruit of Christ, the question is, are you beginning to look more like Jesus? Are you beginning to smell more like Jesus? Is there a cluster of rich, beautiful, spiritual fruit that's looking more and more like Jesus? What kind of fruit are you producing? Are your family and friends beginning to see God's love demonstrated in you? Demonstrated more than ever before? Do you bear a resemblance to the Savior? Do you look like Jesus? Your attitude, your language, how you act, how you react. You're driving and someone cuts you up. What would Jesus do? Chase Him to the lights, wind your window down, and tell Him about Himself. And no, stop pointing to your spouse. What would Jesus do? Are you beginning to look more and more like Jesus? Let me ask those of you who are parents, let me tell you how to truly assess your spiritual walk. You think you're a Christian? Let me tell you how to find out how much of a Christian you are. Are you ready? Ask your children. Okay, there it is. Ask your children. Ask your children how spiritual they think you are. There's the question. Many of us here, I dare say, I challenge you, most of us here would not dare ask that question because we jolly well know what the answer will be. Ask your children how spiritual they think you are. Listen, your spouse might lie to you because, you know, they don't want another argument. You know where that's going to end up. Someone's sleeping in the living room, right? Your friends and your family, they might dress up their answers, you know, for political reasons. Because they know that the barbecue's in 3 weeks' time and they still want to come. So, very specific, yeah? No, we're not having a barbecue, relax. It's the truth. They'll give you a little bit of flattery in there. They don't want to hurt your feelings too much. You think you're spiritual? You want to hear the real truth? Ask your children, how spiritual do they see you to be? because they will not lie to you. They will not lie. Ask your children, do I behave like Jesus? And if they answer you, I don't know, even worse. Woo! He ran. I only went through one paragraph. So here is the question. Are you a ba? Somebody said, Pastor, there's some in the fridge. Here's the question. Are you abiding? Are you abiding in Christ? Did you notice? When you look at what abiding in Christ means in this text, two simple words. Trust and obey. If you trust God, you trust Jesus, how will you not obey his word? Don't tell me you trust him and you're doing it your way. I'll do it my way. Nah, you don't trust him. There are no special techniques, no spiritual formulas to abiding in Christ. Abiding is an intimate walk. It's moment by moment. It's minute by minute. And many of us become so preoccupied with the performance. It's like, how do I look? Am I doing it okay? Abide. Just be there. Just be. Just be. Whether you're talking or silent, whether you're asleep or awake, just be there. Just be in him. We become so preoccupied with the performance, and what God is asking for us is to be preoccupied with the person of Jesus Christ. When we abide, we bear fruit. So what should this fruit look like? And this is why I asked him to get me an apple. This is what? Okay, let me do it this way. I'm going to do a countdown. I mean, I even gave you a clue. I don't understand. Someone gives you the answer, asks you a question, you still don't get it right. I don't understand. So I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. And when I say, not yet. When I say 3, 2, 1, shout out what this is. Yeah? 3, 2, 1.
Apples.
An apple. Someone said carrots. I don't know where you're. Just, come see me afterwards. You need prayer. This is an apple in my hand. Which means the fruit of this apple is what? Is what? An apple. It's not a trick question. What did you think I was going to say? Mango? The fruit of an apple is apple. It's not a banana. It's not tomato or a coconut. They're all fruits as well. And somebody was trying to be a little bit wise when I held this up. What is this? A fruit. Well, it's not a coconut. That's fruit. It's not tomato. That's fruit. Yeah. You follow Christ, you abide in him, his word abides in you, you behave like him, which means you imitate him. And imitating Christ makes you a Christian. Somebody, did you say fruit? You could tell she's fasting, right? Imitating Christ makes you a Christian. The word Christian means imitator of Christ. You're copying what Christ does, what Christ did, what Christ would do. If you're a Christian and you bear fruit, what is your fruit? Nope. An apple's fruit is apple. A Christian's fruit is what? Is a Christian. You bear fruit after your own kind. A Christian's fruit is a Christian. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus talked about it. It says, a tree is recognized by its fruits. Fruit bearing isn't just what we do, it's who we are. Fruit bearing refers to your everyday life. It refers to how you talk. It refers to the things that you do, your circle of friends, your network of influence, and the people you're influencing in the way or not, you're influencing them. Yeah, we mustn't limit, fruit bearing is, in church, I'm no longer a slave to fit. Yeah, true, we know. But let's see your fruit when you're standing at the bus stop queue and that bus comes and it's a little bit packed and there's been a tube strike and there's this elderly gentleman in front of, there's this elderly gentleman who arrived after you. Hey. He didn't arrive before you. He got to the bus stop after you. Let's see your fruit bearing when you're walking through the shopping, into the shop, and you know there's lots of you walking, and you just walk in and let the door swing behind you. No care or concern for the person coming behind, because after all, you're there to buy your sugar. It's not just what we do when we're holding a Bible, singing hymns and songs, or when we're gathered in church on a Sunday. Fruit bearing is what's happening on the inside as much as what is happening on the outside. Are you bearing good fruit? The only way you can bear good fruit is by abiding, is by remaining in Christ. Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? You know, when I was preparing for today, I saw this thing on social media. It was a conversation, an account of a conversation between a farmer and and a tree. The man was talking to a tree. So it's on social media. Things happen, you know, anything's possible on social media, right? Okay. Some of you are wondering where this is going. So this is how the conversation went. The farmer walks into the garden. He sees the tree. He says, "Good morning, tree. How are you doing today?" The tree answers, "Just fine, farmer. My, isn't it a lovely morning?" The farmer says, "Yes, it's a lovely morning, except for one thing. Where's your fruit? I see, you know, all your nice green leaves, outstretched branches. I see your sturdy trunk. I see your root system. But where is your fruit?" The tree answers, "Master, you're going to notice this. I'm much, much more firmly anchored than any tree in this garden. I have the most beautiful leaves to be seen anywhere. I have no broken or sagging branches or scuff marks from people's shoes on my limbs." The farmer says, yeah, that's all well and good. And I'm glad you look good. But I planted you for the purpose of bearing fruit, not to look pretty and preserve yourself. What if all my trees had your attitude? Why have you not produced any fruit?" The tree answers, "Well, I actually produced a little bit of fruit a while back. Some of the beautiful fruit I worked so hard to produce fell to the ground. It became rotten. It was like I had wasted my time. I'm thinking, what's the point of producing fruit that's going to fall to the ground? The odor from the rotting fruit was terrible. And the fruit that I carried, my branches were bending and creaking. The whole system just was drained from the effort of holding these fruits up. It's all one tree could handle. And then these workmen came, and then they climbed on top of me, and they scuffed my limbs, and they cut the branches again and again and again. I kept getting cut and cut and cut. And to top it all off, I produced more fruit than any other tree in this garden. And I didn't get any glory for it. I didn't get any special recognition for it. And now I've decided I'm going to stay right here, and some other tree can bear fruit. After experiences like I've had, what do you expect from me?" The farmer answered, "Well, what I expect is you're going to make some lovely logs for my fireplace." You know, we may laugh, we may smile at a story like that, but isn't it actually true of what happens? Isn't this what Jesus is talking about, what he's telling us about? Jesus made it very clear in his word. We're either cut back or we're cut off. I want to show you some photos. These photos are real. I took the photos. They're not from social media. When I read this story, I thought, ooh, wow. This first photo was taken in 2019. There's a tree in the middle of the garden. Some of you will recognize that garden as our garden. Yes. Just like the tree in the conversation, you can see it. It's full, it's lush, lots of, you know, apples on it, some of them on the ground. I remember in 2023, this tree, we had over 400 apples from this tree. I don't know if some of you may remember, we'd bring apples to church, absolutely fantastic. And in 2023, this particular photo is not about any particular incredibly good-looking people in the photo. It's about the tree. Can you see the leaves? Green, lush. You see the leaves. This is 2023. Now, here's 2024. Again, let's ignore all the exceptional talent that's going on in the photo. But look at the tree now. Not so green. Not so lush. I don't know if you can see it where you are, but there are probably only about 5 apples on this tree. by this time. Again, let me remind you what the tree looked like in 2019. And then here it is finally, 2024. So guess what happened in 2025? I bought one of these. A chainsaw. That's right. I own a chainsaw. You want to see a picture of the tree today? There we go. Can you see how dark everything is? It had lost its life. It had lost its life. It was gone. It wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't producing fruit. This tree was not going to be cut back. It was going to be cut off because it was no longer bearing fruit. And the truth of it is, with no fruit on that tree, it became a hazard and a hindrance in the garden. All of a sudden, it's something that was going to poke somebody in the eye. All of a sudden, it became a problem. Maybe you're here today, you don't want to be a hindrance in God's garden. You want to abide, you want to bear fruit, you want to be fruitful, but you're unsure how much fruit you can produce. You're unsure whether you can even produce any fruit. Maybe you're looking at your life, you're considering, you're asking yourself, what do I bring to the table? Maybe you don't know what you can do. Maybe you don't know how good what you bring will be. You don't know what good fruit will come from you. Let me end with this. Earlier on, I held up this apple. And we all agreed that to reap apples, we must sow apples, right? We all agreed that. And here's the thing. How many seeds are in this apple? Roughly. I mean, those of you who eat apples, four, something like that, four, five, yeah? It's usually about four-ish, five-ish, no more than that. There's a way to find out. You know how we find out? We cut it open. And if you cut it open, you can actually discover how many seeds there are in the apple. If I take one of those seeds out and I plant it in the ground, here's my question. How many apples are going to be in that seed? Many, many, innumerable. We don't know. No way to tell. The only way you can find out how many apples are in a seed is if you plant the seed. Otherwise, no one will know. And so I want to encourage you. Allow yourself to be planted. Allow the Lord to place you in His soil. The soil of His word, the soil of faith, the soil of belief, the soil of spiritual discipline, the soil of serving in this church or your church, serving in His kingdom. Allow Him to place you in the soil of giving, the soil of mission, the soil of making a difference in people's lives, the soil of sharing the love of Jesus in Pollard's Hill. When you do this, when you allow Him to plant you as a seed in His soil, you will walk more and more in the purposes and plans that He has for your life. And you will see the change that you desire. Listen, let me tell you this. 2025 was a tough year for many of us. I, chief amongst many. And I seriously believe, like somebody, a couple of people have said to me, 2025 was actually a preparation for what's coming in 2026. I said it earlier on, there's no soft life into heaven. We don't cruise and coast our way into heaven. And the battle is beginning to get hotter and hotter. The Lord is coming soon. Things are going to get hot and we must be prepared. Now, I also believe the best preparation is for us to abide in Him, because apart from Him, we cannot do anything of value. Allow yourself to be planted so that those seeds will yield the innumerable harvest for the glory of His name. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.